Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Wonderful worship. And we're continuing our series, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, and looking at the lie of I'll never be happy. Have you ever seen the movie Inside Out? It's about a little girl who's 11 years old. Her name is Riley, and she moves from the Midwest to San Francisco and goes on through a variety of emotions when she goes to her new home. And she doesn't know anybody. She is the new kid. If you've ever been the new kid before in a school or in a city, you know about some of these emotions. Riley, though, has five emotions posing as friends inside. Each one is trying to control her life. The first one is joy, then sadness, disgust, fear, anger. And these five tiny voices inside the head of this 11-year-old girl leave her mind spiraling out of control. At the beginning of the movie, it appears that each emotion believes that its perspective is exactly what this little girl needs. And that should be the dominant thought. But as the movie wraps up, they come to the conclusion that that life is full of different emotions for different occasions. And being able to balance them is key to living a prosperous and successful life. Scripture has much to say about emotions, from anger to shame, as we saw last week, to from happiness to joy. And as a Christ follower, we don't have to let the voices, many voices that are out there, bring us down, to drag us down. The voice of worry, the voice of sadness, disgust, and fear. There can be a lot of that. And as believers, though Satan and his demons, who it's fallen angels that follow him, while they can't possess a believer, man, they sure can, in the spiritual realm, try to discourage us, try to, however it is, whisper and get in between our ears and put things in our mind that drag us down. But the Spirit of God, God brings joy. He brings peace. He brings love into our life. And the lie that we're looking at is that I'll never be happy. I'll never be happy. But notice the truth. Jesus gives us joy. Jesus gives me joy. Now, wait a second. You must have messed up, preacher, because you said I'll never be happy. Shouldn't the truth be Jesus will make me happy? No, we're going to see here this morning, Jesus brings us joy. You see, joy and happiness come from two different places. Happiness has to do with what's happening around me and that the environment in which I'm in or decisions that are being made, I am happy with. I can't always control my happiness because of the circumstances that are going around me may be out of my control. So we're not always happy. She said, amen. We're not always happy. But yet we can, as believers, experience joy even when life isn't all that great because they come from a different source. Joy comes directly from the Spirit of God. Happiness is conditioned by and often dependent upon what is happening around me and to me. Go over to John chapter 15, and Jesus is going to let us know here this morning about how we can have joy, about what we can do to have joy. Now, this is not a sermon of step one, step two, step three, step four, step five on how you can have joy. There's one step here. I'm going to give it to you. We're going to read through this, and I want you to figure it out. And this word is mentioned not once, but 10 times in this passage we're getting ready to read. 10 times, this word. And when Jesus is speaking in his word, and he keeps saying a word 10 times, he's trying to get our attention. So this is what it reads. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so they will produce even more. Let's just stop right there. So the purpose, what we see here, is two ways of dealing with this grapevine, of dealing with this vineyard, is some things need to be cut off. They need to be thrown away. They need to get rid of. It's not dealing with our salvation here this morning, but things that need to be cut off. They are dead. You cut off what is dead, but you prune what is alive. And so there are some things that are going to be in our lives. They may not be bad. They may not be evil within themselves, but we need to prune. And God wants to prune in our life. Why? Why would God want to prune? Pruning sounds painful. It usually is. It usually is. But what's the purpose of God pruning in our life? That you bear fruit so you will produce even more. When a vineyard is pruned, it takes 3 years before that row or that area which is pruned starts producing fruit once again that can be used. It takes some time. And you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. What is this saying? You've been saved. You've been justified. You've been cleansed. You've repented of your sin. You've been pruned and you've been purified. And that only comes through Christ. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches, and those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me, are you starting to get the word? There's a one step here of experiencing joy. Experiencing joy this morning is the word remain. Not just remain where you're at, but remain in the Lord, and he will remain in you. And anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. He's not saying he's going to send you to hell, you're going to lose your salvation. This is dealing with, he's using an illustration here. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything. Keep going there. Rain in anything. There we go. You want, and it will be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you will be my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. And I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Let's read that last part. I have told you these things that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your love, your joy will overflow. So we see here, Jesus is dealing with this subject of joy and how we can experience joy. Step one, the only step, other than coming to know Christ as your Savior, remain in him. Remain in him. You see, joy doesn't come from happiness. Happiness is when your team wins or when Clemson loses. That brings me happiness. You know, I'm just joking. Happiness is conditional. And some think in their mind, well, if I can just be happy, and that's what they're pursuing in life, then I'll be okay. But happiness is temporal. It doesn't last long. In fact, I will say this. God is more concerned about your holiness than he is your happiness. Because in him, as he's making us more like Christ, as we remain in him, he gives us joy, even though the circumstances around us may be awful. And so where do you find yourself? You say, preacher, I never have joy. There's some joy blockers that can be in our lives that can be there that are hindering us from having joy. Fruit that God wants to have in your life, it doesn't just happen. Sometimes it takes time. And if you were to have a plant that you planted in the ground that was to produce fruit, whether it was a fruit tree or it was a vineyard you wanted to start it, if you planted it and then moved it, replanted it, then took it out and replanted it, it's going to take time for it to produce fruit. If you get pruned at the wrong time, it could hurt you long term. But thankfully, God is the vine dresser. He is the one who's going to do the pruning. He knows what is best. And so I'm thankful for that, that in Christ, remaining in Him, Him remaining in me, I can trust in God that He's going to prune at the right time, that He's going to cut out the things that I don't need that are in my life. If I'm putting energy towards what is dead, that He's going to cut it out. I remember we had an apple tree in our first house that we purchased in Waverly, Ohio. We had this house and this big, beautiful apple tree. It was huge. And its limbs were really low. And I had one of those zero-turn mowers that you stood on. And it was so low, I was like, man, I need to cut some of these tree limbs so I can mow without getting decapitated on this lawnmower. And so I just cut them back to where I could get underneath it and mow fine. And you know what happened? I didn't take much off, but I took off a lot of what was dead. And man, that next year, there was no apples on that tree that spring and that summer. But that next spring, they were everywhere just because I cut out what was dead. Because that tree was putting energy in other areas and needed to focus its energy on being fruitful. And God will do the same with you. What areas do you need to stop putting energy into? What are some areas that you're allowing the Holy Spirit, and maybe you already know, but the Holy Spirit is telling you, I'm going to prune this out of your life. I'm going to take it out so I can make you fruitful. It takes time. Just as Jesus is using this illustration of a vineyard, it takes time for a vineyard to become fruitful. It takes time in your life. Maybe you're young in your faith. Be patient. Remain in the Lord. Remain and be faithful to the things of God. It will produce fruit. Maybe that child, you're wondering, I've raised them in church. Keep praying for them. Keep doing what is right with them and how God would want you to raise them up. In time, it'll be fruitful. There's some joy blockers, though, I want you to be aware of, because that can block us from having joy, and we need to be aware of these. The first one is this, is unsatisfied expectations. Maybe in your life, you're in kind of some kind of routine in your life, and it feels like life is just bland. It feels like life just isn't going the way that you expected it to go. Maybe in your marriage, it just doesn't seem fruitful. And I'll say this, that we can't always help what our spouse is doing, but God does expect us to be the right kind of spouse. He'll hold us accountable for that, to love our spouse, to respect our spouse, to help our spouse. And maybe your kids aren't living in the way they should. Perhaps you don't have everything you want, a bigger house, a nicer car, a better job. Maybe you don't have the bank account that you want. To preacher, tell me how I can have joy. How can I, if I would really have happiness if I had the money in my bank account the way I wanted. Or preacher, if I had the kind of marriage so-and-so had, I could have happiness in my life. If I just had that kind of job, I could have happiness in my life. Paul said something very interesting. And you can give us a Bible verse that oftentimes people will end up putting on their sneakers or their shoes. Basketball players, NBA players, some baseball players will put it on their shoes or their uniform or on their black eye underneath their eye. But here's the passage right here I want to show you. Paul is letting us know here this morning. It says, I know how to live on almost nothing and with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. Let's just stop right there. Paul is saying, I have a secret for you. Now, I don't know if you've done this with your kids, but kids love secrets. My 7-year-old Grant, he still likes hearing secrets. He likes to tell you secrets, right? And something I learned with my kids is, I know this will be shocking to you because they're preacher kids, but my kids don't always listen to me. I know, you're surprised, you're shocked. But especially as my kids were younger, And when they wouldn't listen, I'm like, huh, how can I figure this out? I go, hey, I have a trick to tell you. And let me tell you, kids love tricks as much as they love secrets. And so poof, they're over here. They're ready to listen to dad's advice about a trick. They love trick. If I said, I just have some advice for you, they're just going to ignore you. But they will come right over. I have a trick I want you to know. And Paul is saying to you and to I, he's getting our attention. He's saying, I have a secret for you. Are you ready for it? It's a secret that he wants us to know. Of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty or with plenty or little. So in other words, whether you have $1 million in your checking account, amen, praise God, or you have 1 cent in your banking account, this is what he's saying. And whatever situation you find yourself in, whether there's plenty of food in the pantry or not, this is what Paul is saying, that we remain in him, we remain in the Lord, and I'm trusting in him, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's what that passage has to deal with. It deals with whatever situation I'm in, God, I know I can be content with what you've given me. You see, it's not about being content by what we don't have quite yet. Paul is saying, I can be content and I can find joy wherever I'm at because I am content with everything that I have. That is the secret. And some of you think in your mind that when you get that job or you get X amount of money or when you get this, when you get that, then you'll have happiness in your life. No, you'll find that you'll be happy for a moment, but you'll lack joy. What I'm saying to you here this morning is you can have joy and find contentment in the Lord and have joy despite your circumstances that are going on around you. That's what God gives. Here's another joy blocker. It's unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict. Our joy evaporates when we allow conflict between ourselves and another person to go on. I'm not saying we don't ever deal with conflict. We all deal with conflict. But is it something that is a conflict that has continued and continued and continued and you haven't dealt with? It could be a parent, could be a loved one, could be a coworker, could be a neighbor that you need to make peace with. See, when someone's offense against us occupies our mental and emotional attention, we have little left over for the Lord. We don't learn to let things go. And anger clouds the eyes of our heart and obscures our view of God, draining away our joy. And I've seen this. People won't let things go, and it drains their joy. Hebrews talks about this. Hebrews 12, in fact, talks about how that we need to make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Anger, left unresolved, turns into bitterness. And bitterness, that seed of bitterness, will grow a root. And if it has a bitter root, my friend, it'll have bitter fruit. See, love, though, keeps no record of wrongs. If you're still itemizing people's mess-ups, the fruit of joy will be squashed in your life. And listen, husbands and wives, and in your marriage. If you want to have a successful marriage, you need to forgive one another. In fact, I heard someone say once that a successful marriage is a story of two great forgivers. And if you are always bringing up every time the past of everything that went on, you'll never move on in your marriage. And you will just beat up that person with the anger you have not let go. And there won't be joy. Mark it down. There won't be joy. You can't help what your spouse does, but you can help what kind of spouse you are. See, Paul recognizes there's a link between joy and unity. This is what he said in Philippians chapter 2. There's a link between joy and unity. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. If there's not joy in your marriage, what should you do? Get on the same page. Have unity. Joy will follow. It'll take some time, but you need to have unity. Get on the same page. Husbands, if it's your fault, be a man and be the spiritual leader of your family and do just that. Ladies, if it's you, be the woman of God he expects you to be and to follow the lead of your husband. And we see biblically that husbands and wives are called to love and respect one another. That's what he calls you to. Submitting one to another in love. So get it resolved. Then there's number three, and this is a big one. This is probably the most difficult one that we deal with, is unconfessed sin. This is the third joy blocker. Guilt can gut your joy faster than anything that I know. Sin can send joy far away. King David understood this greatly. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband killed. He had issues in his own household, and he attempted to ignore the promptings of the Spirit. Psalms 32 tells us, Psalms 32 says what he wrote, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty." David had confessed his sin. He still had to deal with the consequences of his sin, but he confessed his sin, and he was able to move on. You see, he was able to rejoice and experience the joy of the Lord, but he wasn't able until he confessed it and he got it right with God. Is there sin in your life? Is there sin in your life? I was talking to one gentleman the other day, and he's like, "Man, if I walked into your church, the ceiling would fall down. The roof would fall down on my head." And it wasn't the right situation, but here's the fact. If that's the case, it should fall on all of our heads. We're not worthy. We're not worthy of his grace. We're not worthy of his mercy, but he gives it to us. And anyone who confesses, who goes to the Lord, he will cleanse. In fact, David said this in Psalms 51, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, for I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice." And he was able to. And I want you to know, lost joy can be restored. And some of you've lost your joy. And you're wondering, can I have joy again? I want you to know, just like King, you can have joy again. And God wants to restore that. He can do that in your life if you'll confess it, if you'll make it right with him. And he honored David's prayer when David said, "Restore me to the joy of my salvation." And he did. So how can we have joy? We see this, some things that need to be taken out of the way that block our joy. But what about what builds us up? Jesus called us to remain in him. But I want you to see this the very first verse. Go to the very first slide of where Jesus is talking there in John 15. He says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He," talking about the Father, "cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit for the purpose of making us fruitful." I want you to know, God is joyful. God is joyful. And we don't always maybe think of God as joyful, but he is. And you need to recognize that he wants to bring joy in your life. This whole passage is about how God is pruning, how he's cutting away because he wants to produce more fruit. What is that fruit? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that you may be overwhelmed and overflow with joy. That's what he wants to do. I love what Zephaniah says. Zephaniah chapter 3. We see this. We don't always recognize maybe God is joyful, but the Lord your God is with you and he is mighty to save. And he will take great delight in you. And he will quiet you with his love. And he will rejoice over you with singing. He sings over you. How awesome is that? It makes me think of my kids when they were little. And I held them in my hands. And even with some of the kids, as they go to sleep, even now, you kind of watch them. They look so peaceful when they're sleeping. Not so much when they're awake, but when they're sleeping. And you see their little belly and chest, you know, breathe. Breathe in and breathe out. And you think, oh man, that precious little one that God's given me. And I just makes me just feel so proud as a father and just the love that I have in my heart for them. And this is like Zephaniah hears that God is looking over us. He's singing over us. Do you know God likes you? God likes you. See, but I know I'm saved, preacher, but I know who I am, and why would God like me? I don't even like me. God likes you. It doesn't mean he approves of everything in your life. It doesn't mean that he's not going to prune you, but God likes you. Some of you have parents that you don't think like you, and so you think God doesn't like you. God likes you. You may have never thought of it that way, but he really does. He likes you. You know that he loves you, but like, I don't know if God really likes me. So you're thinking, well, my own family doesn't always like me. Maybe. But God likes you. In fact, he's glad you're a part of his family. And he wants you to experience his joy. I love what... And so to build our faith, recognize that God is joyful. He's just not an angry God looking to crush you and trying to get you. He loves you. And he likes you. He's going to prune you to make you fruitful. Here's the other one, is worship God. So, okay, we already did that, preacher. Got that one checked. Let's move on. But do you really worship God? Sunday isn't the only time that we as believers should worship God. During the week, we should be worshiping him. Do you set time aside to worship God? Some of you listen to Christian music. That's wonderful. There's different types of Christian music. There's all kinds of stuff out there. I'm not saying that everything outside of Christian music you shouldn't listen to. Some of y'all listen to different things. But fine, whatever. That's your prerogative. But do you take time, though, to listen and to worship God during the week? It'll keep you focused. It'll keep your heart on God. Do you come into the church services hungry and ready to hear from the Word of God, to hear the teaching during connection group time, to hear worship, to worship yourself? See, when the band comes up here, it's not to entertain you. It's to lead you in worship. That's what it's meant for. And so when you come into God's house, you should be ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, some of you, you're taking it for granted. You're taking it for granted. There are many Christians across the world. There's a website, and they actually have a magazine called Voice of the Martyrs. Check it out. Voice of the Martyrs. I get their magazine. Some of you can support. And you see believers from all around the world. And a lot of the pictures in there, their faces are blacked out. They have a black bar across their eyes. They don't want to give their identity away. They don't want their government to know that they're a believer. Some of them are beaten for the cause of Christ just for being a Christian or for their family finding a Bible they're disowned. And we tell you what, some of those folks worship differently than we do. And some of y'all, you come in here on a Sunday morning, and man, I love to hear our church worship. And you were saying good this morning. But maybe you came in. You came in like you've been sucking on lemons all morning. And you come into the house of God in a free nation where you can publicly worship him. You don't have to hide and meet in the middle of a barn at 3 a.m. in the morning like some of them do in China. You can come in here. And we tell you what, you should come in here ready to worship God. Every now and then I'll have someone say, not very often, they'll say, preacher, I'm just not getting fed. Not getting fed. I'm like, well, are you reading the word during the week? Well, nah, that kind of hem-haw around. Maybe that's how you're feeling. But you're not spending time with God during the week. Let me tell you what you need to do. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth and take in the word of God during the week. And my friend, if you're expecting me to feed you just by me once a week, and this is part of the feeding, amen? Preaching is part of the feeding of the Word of God. It's part of it, by all means, the teaching and the preaching. But if you're not feeding yourself, you have something in your hands that people in China, some would die to love to have, and yet we just ignore it and let dust gather on it during the week. Feed, you got to learn to feed yourself. Open the Word of God. Make the spiritual disciplines of reading, whether it's a chapter a day. If you're new to the faith, I encourage you to start in the book of John. It's a wonderful book. There's some passages of Scripture that are books of the Bible that are harder to read than others. I understand that. But take that time, make that a discipline in your life. You got to learn to feed yourself. That's part of maturing and growing in Christ. Worship God. I love what Psalm 66 says. Psalm 66 says, when you come in the house of God, I mean, David could worship. He said, shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing with the glory of his name and make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you and they sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Listen, if you don't like worshiping in church here on earth, you're going to hate heaven. Because it's going to be worship of all different types and all different kinds from all different nationalities and tongues. It's going to be awesome. Be like something we've never heard. It's a builder. And if you're wondering, like, I've been in church my whole life, you can generally tell who worships God during the week and who doesn't. I don't know how, I don't know why. I'm not saying it's 100% proof, not like I do a survey or anything, but you can just tell because there's a joy that comes from the Lord in the heart of people and they are ready to come in and worship. Here's the third one. Reaffirm your commitment to others. Notice this vine, this vineyard of remaining in Jesus. What do vines do? They intertwine with what is around them. As we remain in Jesus, and we are the branches. He is, and we are connected to Him. We're going to grow through Him. But get us. You're going to be intertwined with other believers. You did not come to church today. You came to be with your church family today. The building is not the church. We are the church. The people make up the church. If there was no building here, the church didn't go anywhere. We still are here. We are made up of individual believers as a body of believers that come together. We have different gifts. We have different abilities. And you need to reaffirm your commitment one to another. That's part of being in a connection group. Here's the point. As I connect with you and you connect with me, your joy will overflow. We need each other. If we're not attending church on a regular basis or coming and not interacting with others, we could be jeopardizing the joy of other people and ourselves. When we live in a loving relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll be more fruitful and we'll begin helping others in their joy. And the best way to know this to happen is to get into a connection group. Some of you are in one, that's wonderful. You need those friendships. You need to find that place in which you can love and be loved, that you can serve and be served. Here's the fourth one. It's ignite your passion for evangelism. Oh, preacher, I've heard this one before. To preacher, I don't have a lot of joy in my life. I want to know, what can build my joy? Don't miss this one. Some of you have not tried this. Some of you have not done this ever. You want to have joy? Do you want to have joy? Evangelize. And you can do it many different ways. You need to tell people what Jesus did for you. Tell them about the gospel that you know. And some of you, there's tracks back there, right there, and right there. They're cartoon tracks. And I've seen many tracks, and I've passed out many tracks. Many tracks are just thrown in the garbage, but there's something special about cartoon tracks. People will read cartoon tracks. I don't know what it is about cartoons. Maybe they're just not very, seem more friendly, I guess. But even if it's just planting a seed of handing the track of the gospel, this is what happens. Try it. Some of you don't believe me. Share your faith with somebody, a friend, a neighbor, invite them to church, hand them a gospel track, and you're going to find joy is going to swell up inside. You're like, man, I've never experienced this before. It brings, man, and when God gives you the chance or to lead somebody to Christ and to pray with them, it is awesome. It is awesome. I don't care if it's a child or a teenager or an adult. It is awesome. And some of you have not experienced that joy because you don't evangelize. Reignite that in your life. You want to bring joy? That brings joy. In fact, Philemon 6 says, I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of the good things that we have in Christ. I mean, Luke 15 talks about how the shepherd leaves the 99 to go find the one. And what do they do when they come back? They rejoice and they throw a party, and there's a party in heaven. Man, heaven's rejoicing. It's partying. It's a party up there going on all the time. And Jesus reminds us in John 4 that we can be filled with joy when we participate in being part of the harvest. It says, even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests for eternal life so that the sowers and reapers may be glad together. I have three kids, and I was there for all their births. And being in there, my wife being in pain, and it's some of you husbands have had kids, you know what it's like. You don't know where to go exactly. You feel stuck. Like if I get too close to her, she may grab me and beat me for getting her pregnant. Then you don't want to go too low below the Mason-Dixon line because that changes your life forever as well. And so you're kind of stuck. But this is what I noticed with my wife on all three births. Is that despite the pain, despite the agony, as soon as they put that baby on my wife's chest, she had tears in her eyes and she had a big smile on her face. Here's my point. New birth brings joy. Brings joy. And some of you have just recently gotten saved in our church. I want you to know you bring joy to this preacher. And you bring joy to other people in our church. And we're so glad you're here. And it reminds us of when we got saved. And we need to be reminded of that. Here's two more, all right? Two more. I won't take much longer, and then we'll get into the rest of the service. Release your problems to the Lord. Release it. You're holding on to it. You're holding on to the worry and things that you don't really need to hold on to because you can't control them anyway. Why not just give them to the Lord? Read Acts 16. This is about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas get beat for preaching the gospel. They get thrown in prison. An angel comes, and there's an earthquake. And in the middle of the night, and the shackles fall off of them. The angels, they're getting ready to go. They're getting ready to leave. And they're like, no, we're going to stay. We're going to stay. And Paul and Silas stay. And during that time when they're in prison, what are they doing? They're not whining to God. They're not arguing with God. They're not hating on God. They're singing hymns. That's what Paul and Silas are doing. They're singing hymns while being thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. God shows up, shackles off, and they stay right there. And the jailer is getting ready to kill himself because, man, if the prisoners get out, he just assumed the prisoners were gone. And Paul said, don't harm yourself. You know the rest of the story? The prisoner and his whole family ends up getting saved. You never know what God's up to. Let it go. Let it go. When you're remaining in him, you realize that not everything that happens to you is your fault. That whatever does happen to you, despite the circumstance, I can have joy in my grief. I can have joy even when there's things I'm concerned about. I can have joy when things go badly because I know who I worship and I know who's in control. Here's the last one. Remain close to Jesus. If you don't get anything, Jesus said it 10 times. Remain, abide, remain in my love. And Jesus said it clearly. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing without him. We can't bring people to Christ on our own. That's something he does. And joy is that flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that Jesus is king. I love how he ends it there in John 15, in verse 10 and 11, and I'll end here this morning. He said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And I've told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Church, do you really have joy? There's no reason not to. Remain in him, and that will be a fruit in which he grows in your life. We need more joyous Christians in our church, in our nation today. Amen? We do. I pray it starts with that. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into our baby dedication here this morning. Father, I thank you and I praise you. And Lord, in this life, it can be hard. In this life, it can be difficult. And there are times in which we may not know what to do, but this is what I know, that you prune us, and you know what is best for us, and that you like us. that you love us and you look over us. And so, God, I pray this morning that if somebody's here who is not a Christian, they're not saved, I pray that they will repent of their sins here this morning and pray. Pray with me. Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I'm asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to be my Lord and Savior. That's how you can become connected, how you can become a child of God, because you can't remain in Jesus if you're not connected. You can't experience the fruit in which God wants to show of joy, love, peace in your life without being connected to Jesus, because apart from Him, you can do nothing. So you can never just be good enough or clean yourself up enough. No. That's something that comes from Jesus by remaining in Him. Come to Him. If you prayed that prayer, please let us know. Message us. Talk to us after the service. We'd love to talk with you and celebrate with you. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.